chance.
And will you remember, Mrs. Sinclair, it is just a chance.
Fred Ward Incorporated presents The Biggest Heart. Here is your program, a program for everybody. Here is the heartwarming story of a person who has taken the time to make life a little better, a little happier for somebody else. Yes, these are the people of the big heart, saluted each week at this time by Fred Ward, Hudson dealer and distributor, and your neighborhood Hudson dealer. And now here is Pete Smythe to tell us about tonight's person of the big heart.
Thanks, Bill. Hello, everybody. Well, her grandparents were Irish, which perhaps accounts for the merry eyes that look beyond today and the day after. She calls it
the Pat and Bridget in me.
And her heart, well, it's as big as all outdoors. And she has that American devotion to causes that other people give up for lost. She is Marie Wickert of Colorado Society for Crippled Children, tonight's person of the big heart.
Quite enough about me, Pete. There are literally hundreds of big hearts who have given unstintingly of time and money and dreams to make the society and the work it does possible. There are thousands of other big hearts who buy Easter seals every year so that we can go forward along this road.
But you know, Marie, this story of yours is going to give a lot of folks a lot of reasons for not tossing those Easter seals into the coal scuttle. With your permission, let's go back to 1932.
I was a green caseworker then at Children's Hospital, watching them bring in twisted little bodies and with the miracles of surgery setting so many of them right again.
But in 1932... You went to the State Child Welfare Bureau, is that right?
Yes, and it wasn't the children who came to the hospital, but the children who didn't, who literally pushed me into that job. I knew that for every kid who came, there were 10, 20, maybe more who didn't come. The undiscovered, the untreated, and perhaps working with the state, I could find them. So I went to work.
Sorry you had to come to work right in the middle of this house cleaning, Marie.
Oh, I don't mind. Oh, here are two more boxes. Look at the dust.
Mm, those must be old case records. And here are some baby bottles. Say, they ought to be
stored. Doris, for heaven's sakes, what is this?
Well, it looks like a skillet to me.
Well, look at the size of it, and what in the world is it doing in this closet?
Oh, I remember. That skillet could certainly tell some tales.
A skillet?
That skillet. You see, Marie, this department wasn't always so broke. Before the Depression, we used to hold clinics all over the state in impossible places. The doctors and the staff people took that skillet along. They did a lot of their own cooking in those days.
I wonder if we'll ever see that time again when there will be clinics for these children.
Just a minute, Marie. Child Welfare Bureau. Speaking. Yes, yes, indeed. By this afternoon at the latest. Right. Not at all. Goodbye. Marie, I'll finish cleaning out that closet. You'd better run along home and pack a bag.
I'm going to go out into the state.
It's an emergency relief job, Marie. You won't have much time for your crippled kids. You've got to get some food to some families. Take the early afternoon train for Pueblo. I'll call the ticket office for you.
Okay, Doris. Had I better take the skillet?
The paving ends at Pueblo. Use your own judgment.
This emergency meeting is being held at Dove Creek, Miss Wickert. You'll contact Dan Hunter at the general store.
Well, can you show me where Dove Creek is on the map?
You see, it's right over here.
Oh, yeah.
See,
mm-hmm.
Almost at the Utah line. It's over beyond the disappointment country, and that spot is pretty well named.
Did they tell you that I didn't have a car?
Oh, yes. We have a young fellow here. Joe Davis is his name. He'll take you over.
Ever been over Wolf Creek Pass, Miss Wickert?
No, never have.
Quite a trip. A lot of switchbacks. Have to back up sometimes to make the corners. It's one way, mostly. Hope you aren't going to be scared.
I hope so, too. I'll have to be a lot older than I am now before I forget my first trip across Wolf Creek Pass and across the disappointment country. It was bleak, late November, and the wind howled like a banshee as we chugged up the twisting, narrow road. There was a full moon, and the wild, desolate mesas of the rugged country around Disappointment Creek looked like the landscape of another planet. Then, the yellow glow of lights, and Dan Hunter's friendly voice booming in the stillness.
You're the folks from the state?
Yes, we got here.
Good, good. I hoped you wouldn't run into any trouble. Come right on in. Everybody's waiting. Sure appreciate them sending you over, Miss Wickard.
I hope I've been some help to you, Mr. Hunter. At least I can make a pretty comprehensive report on the situation here when I get back to Denver.
Sure you ain't all wore out? Thought that meeting never would break up last night.
Well, there was a lot to do. Well, I guess Joe and I better get started for home. I do want to get these figures
Be right with you in a minute, Miss Wickard. Got to wait on this young man.
Hi, Mr. Hunter.
Howdy, Larry. What can I do for you?
Just a minute. I got to get the list out of my pocket.
Mr. Hunter, would you introduce me?
Sure. This here is Larry Cameron. Larry, this is Miss Wickard. She came in last night in Denver for our emergency meeting.
Hi, Miss Wickard.
Hi, Larry. Would you mind if I ask you a question or two?
No, I guess not.
How old are you, Larry?
I'm 11.
Do you remember how long ago you had infantile paralysis?
What?
Well, how long have you been walking with the crutches?
Oh, since I was 8. I was sick, and then I couldn't walk so good anymore. But I get around okay.
Oh, sure, Larry, you do fine. But have you ever had an operation or taken any treatments or anything?
No, I just got sick. And then I got better.
Larry, I don't want to promise you anything, but if I could arrange it somehow, could you come to Denver? I believe with a little help, you could throw away those crutches forever. And somehow, even in 1932, and there were people who had chicken feed cooking for dinner on the back of the stove, remember? We managed. Larry came to Denver and went to Children's Hospital.
Well, just how did you manage it, Marie?
Pete, it's amazing how many people will do most anything to help a crippled youngster.
Well, how about Larry? Did he throw away his crutches?
He did. 3 years later, I put him on the train to go home. Now, I'm sure you have everything, Larry.
Oh, yes, Miss Wickard. I'll be fine. Don't worry about me.
And here are your tickets. I've arranged it so you'll get home the quickest way. There is a little narrow gauge line, but it's a wild ride. You better put these tickets in your inside pocket.
Yes, ma'am. Could I have gone on the narrow gauge?
Would take you a lot longer to get home. Now, you send me a wire when you get there. Your folks or Dan Hunter can help you. Don't you forget.
I'll remember.
Miss Wickard speaking. Yes. Oh, well, will you let me check the case record on that? I'll call you back. Goodbye.
What's wrong with you, Marie? You jump on that phone every time it rings.
Oh, I just keep thinking I'll get a telegram from Larry Cameron, Doris. He should have been home day before yesterday.
Oh, he's just a kid. He forgot to let you know.
I suppose, but he promised. And besides, I'm sure Dan Hunter would have reminded him.
Look, Marie, as long as you're so worried about it, why don't you wire Mr. Hunter? He'll let you know about Larry.
Why, Doris, why didn't I think of that myself? I'll do it right now.
Have you heard anything from Dan Hunter yet, Marie?
Not a word. Oh, that poor kid. What could have happened to him? He's only 14. I should have gone with him myself.
Well, what does it say, Marie? Is it the telegram you've been expecting?
Yes, it's from Dan Hunter. Oh. I don't know whether to laugh or cry or get boiling mad.
Well, did Larry get home all right?
Listen to this. Larry arrived this morning. Exchanged railroad ticket. Came by narrow gauge. Delayed on way. All okay. Don't worry. About the time Larry went back to the disappointment country doing it his own way, things began to look up for our crippled kids. In 1935, some federal money became available, and we began talking about a big meeting. Only, do you think anybody will come?
Well, I don't know. Of course, you can pretty well count on the grand old gang that started the Crippled Children's Society back in 26.
Sure, I know that, but there's been so much rough sledding in the meantime.
Well, let's send out the notices. If our meeting is a success...
It's got to be. Traveling from one end of this state to the other, as I do all the time, I'm overwhelmed with a sense of what can be done. Somehow, we've got to do it.
you think we ought to start now, Marie? It's 20 minutes of 8.
Yes, go ahead. I don't think we can get anybody else in.
No?
Place is jammed.
All right. Come to order, please. Quiet now. Thank you. I'm going to call on Marie Wickert of State Health to start us out here. Okay, Marie.
Thanks. First of all, I've just got to say thank you. Thank you for coming, so many of you. I said over and over as I watched you coming in tonight, you do care. There are a lot of people who care what happens to our handicapped kids. These last few years have been awfully discouraging. So many of the beginnings have never become realities. We've had to shelve so many plans and so many dreams. But things are looking up. There's a chance now to plan once more to make some of those dreams come true. The Colorado Society for Crippled Children can live again.
Yes, there were a lot of people who cared. And some of the dreams began to come true. In 1936, the doctors were out into the state again. Roads were better now, and they didn't need that big old skillet. But from the first dozen clinics, the youngsters came in for surgery, for therapy, and for a new lease on life. There was a growing sense of coordination between all of the agencies interested in crippled children, and the spark plug a lot of it was Marie Wickert. It's her own word, and it's a good one. She had the compushity. In those years, she was volunteer executive secretary for the society. Then 1939, Easter Seals and Laura Nielsen. Is that right, Laura?
Well, that's right. I came to the Colorado Society in January of that year. The first year we sold Easter Seals. And believe me, Marie Wickert and I did some high-powered dreaming during the next 5 years. Our favorite pastime was house hunting.
Slow down a little, Laura. There. See that big old house? That's just the kind of a place I mean.
Oh, that would be wonderful. To have it all under one roof. To be able to give our kids the help they really need.
All kinds of therapy, all tied together with a homebound program. There I go again.
That's the Pat and Bridget in you, seeing ahead, Marie.
Oh, I get downright frustrated sometimes. I wish Pat and Bridget would leave me alone.
It all will come true someday. Yes, just how it's going to happen, I don't know. But someday, the Colorado Society for Crippled Children is going to have a home. I called your office, and they said you were out to lunch. I just took a chance that you'd come home.
Well, I thought I might get away from the telephone for a few minutes. Take off your hat. I'll give you something to eat.
Oh, I'm too excited to eat. Marie, it's happened.
Here, let me look at you. Why, you look just like the cat that swallowed the canary. Sit down.
Oh, well, I can't. Just listen to me a minute. Do you remember a doctor named Sewell?
Yes, I think I do.
Well, he had a big home up on Vine Street. His wife willed that home to the University of Colorado, and now... now it's going to be ours.
You mean the society is really going to get that big house?
Yes, it looks very much like it. We're going to have it as long as we work with the physically handicapped.
All under one roof at last, Laura. And just when I was going to give Pat and Bridget up for good. And just to cinch the argument, the Colorado Society for Crippled Children moved into Sewell House in 1944 on St. Patrick's Day.
All right, Mrs. Sinclair. I'll take Molly now. Oh,
she's getting pretty heavy to carry this last year.
I have her. Come on in. We can lay her on the table.
I'll close the door, Doctor.
Thank you, Mrs. Sinclair. Now then, Miss Molly, we'll put you down right here. Comfortable? Oh, she still can't talk, Mrs. Sinclair?
Not so you can understand her, Doctor, but
Her eyes, they do a lot of talking. Plenty of folks think I'm a stupid old fool to care for Molly the way I do, but there's nothing wrong with the child's mind. She just doesn't talk.
You've given her wonderful care and a lot of the understanding she needs. Now, let's see the legs. Mm-hmm. Let me see.
You don't need to tell me. I know they're worse.
Yes. Even just a superficial examination tells me that. She ought to have some surgery, Mrs. Sinclair.
But just how would we manage it, Doctor? Here I own my little house, and I have enough money for the two of us, but not any for operations.
Now, don't you worry about that part of it. There's a way to manage that, I'm sure. The Colorado Society for Crippled Children is our answer there. It's not just the operation. There's the therapy. And with cerebral palsy, it sometimes takes years. But she'll have to come to Denver.
Then she should go. I love Molly. I'll miss her and worry about her too, no doubt. But, Doctor, if there's a chance...
And will you remember, Mrs. Sinclair, it is just a chance. Hello, Marie.
What, Dr. Carson, you surprised me. Good to see you. How was the trip?
Excellent. Here are the reports. We missed you.
I wanted to go, too. Just couldn't make it. Well, how are my kids?
One of the reasons I stopped in. Little Molly Sinclair should have some surgery.
What is it, Doctor? Legs?
Yes. She's grown a lot in the last year. There was that little old grandmother holding Molly in her arms. Same as always, and Molly's getting heavy.
I wonder how we're going to work this one. I guess I better call Laura out at the Society for Crippled Children.
Tell her I'll get a complete case record for her.
Well, that'll be fine, Doctor. And you'd also better... Just a minute. Miss Nielsen, please. You'd better make the arrangements for the surgery.
All right.
Hello, Laura. Yes, it's Marie. Dr. Carson's just back from a clinic downstate. We need your help. Yes, her name's Molly Sinclair, CP, one of the floppy kind. The most beautiful and the most expressive eyes I've ever seen. Yes, the state will see to the surgery, and we'll make the arrangements for her convalescent care, but... That's right. Will you do the therapy out of Sewell House? It will be long and expensive. Dr. Carson will send a complete history out to you, and we'll be ready...
Big-eyed Molly Sinclair started on the long uphill road.
Scalpel.
Scalpel.
Sponge.
Sponge.
The pressure all right?
Still almost normal.
Thank you. Yes, nurse. Sponge.
That's right, Molly. Stretch. Stretch. Push against my hand. That's right. Now push. That's good. Now then, let's try the other leg.
Doctor, I know Molly Sinclair is kind of a pet of yours, and I've just been talking to the physical therapist who's been working with her. Her legs are much better. And the speech therapist tells me that she's beginning to talk a little. Need any help, Miss Molly?
No, I'm fine.
I know a certain grandmother who's going to be awfully happy when you get off this train tomorrow. Got your ticket?
Yes, thank you.
Come along now. Porter will help us on the train. Dr. Carson will see you in the clinic downstate, and don't you forget your exercises.
I won't. You won't forget me.
Never, Molly. You can be sure we'll help you make your other dream come true.
And what was Molly's other dream?
She wanted to learn how to be a dressmaker so that one day she could take care of the grandmother who had done so much for her. And that's just what she's doing.
Oh, that's wonderful. Makes you feel pretty good to hear a story like that.
Well, Molly's story is an especially good one because it illustrates how closely all organizations work together to bring about rehabilitation wherever we can. The Crippled Children's Division, St. Anne's Convalescent Home, the State Rehabilitation Division, and the Colorado Society for Crippled Children all played a part in taking Molly from her grandmother's arms and putting her on her feet. Not a matter of weeks, but daily therapies for over a year. Social work, Pete, is not doing for somebody, but working with somebody.
I see. Well, you know, we've kidded a lot about Pat and Bridget tonight. But in looking ahead now, what do you see, Marie?
Only this, Pete. We're just beginning. The door is open, just a crack. Somehow, when you work with these crippled kids, you've always got a dream for tomorrow.
Just a moment now, we're going to talk personally with this woman who has devoted so many years and so much of herself to the cause of the physically handicapped, Marie Wickert, tonight's person of the big heart. Right now, here's Bill Jones to tell you about something nice that happened to Hudson.
Right, Pete. Suppose you could hire a group of highly skilled engineers to study automobiles and then report back to you personally the one car which they feel combines the best in design, engineering, manufacture, and performance. The American Society of Industrial Engineers has done just that in a report which says in part,
Hudson's step-down design represents the most advanced ideas in design, styling, engineering, and production. It results in true streamlining, greater riding comfort, greater driving safety, increased passenger protection, and lower center of gravity.
In citing Hudson's design and long-life features, the ASIE says,
on the basis of our findings, the ASIE has granted its merit award to the Hudson Motor Car Company for leadership in research, engineering, design, and manufacture in the automobile industry.
Now more than ever, plan to buy for the long tomorrow. Make certain you see and drive Hudson. It is the most durable car your money can buy. Due to our realistic used car policy, Fred Ward Incorporated, 1300 Lincoln, can give you right now the best deal in town, a high allowance for your car, credit terms to meet your particular requirements, at Fred Ward Incorporated, 1300 Lincoln Street, Denver.
Right now, I'd like you to meet two wonderful people. I haven't known them for long, but as long as I've known them, I have become greatly enthused for the work they're doing. First, to my right, is Laura Nielsen, who is the executive secretary of the Easter Seal Agency of the Colorado Society for the Crippled Children. That's quite a title. How do you get that on your door there, Miss Nielsen?
It takes up all the room.
It must. Well, we're certainly glad you came down this evening. I know that you two have been working together, you and Miss Wickert. And would you mind presenting the scroll to Miss Wickert right now?
I'd love to. Miss Wickert, it reads, The Biggest Heart. Marie Wickert presented March 2nd, 1951, on the Biggest Heart program, radio station KLZ. Great people carry big hearts.
Thank you very much, Miss Nielsen. And now I'd like to talk to Miss Wickert for just a moment. Tell us a little bit about Sewell House and the work you've been doing and... Haven't you just finished a big job up there sending out some Easter seals to everyone?
350,000 and going up. And we hope to get most of them back with the little contributions that make all this nice work possible. You think we will?
I think you will. Now, good. Here's your opportunity to do a little sales work right now so they won't, as we said in the script, throw them in the coal scuttle. So would you like to give a little sales pitch on Easter seals right now?
Oh, I don't have to sell that. That just comes in, always has. You see, I just get a good grandstand seat and watch the show go by.
I see. Well, if they could go up there to Sewell House and see these children, as I did the other day, the little girl coming up the front steps on the crutches, took her about 10 minutes, I think, to make it, but they let her do it herself, and her mother was sitting in the car watching her all the time. Really pulls at the heartstrings.
It does. Come back in 6 months and she'll do it in 1 minute.
I see. Don't forget those seals now, will you? And while you're standing there, if you'll let me talk for just a minute, because I have, see that list of things? We'd like to give you, a new car and a new Sewell house and a lot of therapeutic machines and all, but we have instead an orchid for you from Alpha Floral, which is beautiful, there at 420 16th Street, and they always send flowers up, and they also sent you a dozen red roses. And I have here a letter. If you'll present this letter to Walt Blake of Grano and Blake at 1653 Welton, he has a lovely gift for you from his most complete selection of jewelry. As you know, they are famous as manufacturing jewelers here in Denver. 1653 Welton. The address is on the letter. And Clyde Jackson, the man sitting over there with the glasses, is the finest commercial photographer in this vicinity. And he's going to take pictures of everyone tonight so that you can have them for your scrapbook and to send to your friends. And then, good hearts, here's another letter. This letter entitles you to $15 worth of laundry and dry cleaning. And it's from the Laundry with the Heart, Good Hearts. And Clyde Jackson brought down a surprise for you tonight. He brought a bag of candy from Tony's Apple Cart at 430 South Colorado Boulevard. Tony sent it down. He wants you to take that out to the kids out there at the house. A recording of tonight's program, we'll have that for you, so you can play it for whoever you like. Send it back to CBS in New York, will you please? And also from the Golden Lantern, two tickets to dinner on Sunday or any day you'd like to go. Golden Lantern, Broadway near 13th. Photographs, the United Studios, Dick Montague down there. Is that Montague or Montague? Montague. I got it right tonight. 1521 Curtis, he wants to make a fine portrait of you. I know you'll like that. Sam and Bill Zoll of the Zoll Jewelry Company want you to have some Elgin American Pearls. That's the Zoll Jewelry at 619 16th Street. Their little boy was on the program tonight, did a great job. And also, for your bedside, a radio. Fred Ward wants you to have this. I bought it at Mel Collier's. It's a beautiful thing made by RCA. And now my personal congratulations. May there be more like you.
How I thank you.
If you would like to suggest some big-hearted person for this show, The Biggest Heart, just write a letter to Fred Ward, KLZ, Denver. Letters will be judged on what the person with the big heart has done, so be as complete as possible. On behalf of Fred Ward, I want to thank the following: Alpha Floral, Grano and Blake, Jackson Photo Service, Tony's Apple Cart, Good Hearts Laundry, Golden Lantern Restaurant, United Photo Studio, Zoll Jewelry, and Mel Collier Music Company. Our cast tonight included Betty Trunk, Barbara Peters, Shirley Squires, Jim Herrick, Dick Wolhoff, and Johnny Zoll. Music by Art Gow, direction by Clayton Brace. Script by Betty Trunk. This is Bill Jones inviting you to listen next Friday night at 7:30 when Fred Ward Incorporated, your Hudson dealer and distributor, will present another in this series of programs saluting The Biggest Heart. Bargains galore at Fred Ward's two big used car departments, 915 Broadway and 7100 West Colfax. For new car transportation at a used car price, visit Fred Ward's two big used car departments, 915 Broadway, open evenings till 9, and 7100 West Colfax, open evenings and Sundays.